here at ACO Radio, American Communications Online, or any affiliated stations or websites are not responsible for what guest hosts or call-ins may say. All programming is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only.
Hello, world, planet Earth, Gaia, our home while we're here on this spinning marble through space. One little ball that just sort of orbs around and does its own thing. And this particular galaxy we call home is Milky Way Galaxy. And the many multi-galaxies in the large universe among many multiverses. And we have various ways of speaking about life after life. And many of us are enjoying each other's company while we're here leveling up, because it's all about who you are and how you fit in with your higher source and all that you learn about yourself and others while we're doing unity here together. And we have created something here over the years, and we are being broadcast out of New York by Blog Talk Radio, owned by Box Nest, owned by the bigger company, with speaker is iHeart now. So welcome all our large family that helps us every week and every year. And it's all about time, space, and ourselves, our souls. So we're here to save souls, as most people have different groups. And we have started our own Ascension Cosmos Oracles Corp, which is a nonprofit that represents and presents Ascension Church Ohana of Metaphysicians. That's right, folks. We are Unity, and we are Metaphysicians. Now, we cover our tribe and team for all mystics, oracles, psychics, sages, seers, shamans, prophets who are leveling up in the change of life. We all work towards finding our place in space among the cosmos, and we all share in past lives as reincarnation. We live the lives as yogis have done in the past with today's new communication portals into various stargates. We embrace our rational, logical thought process and compare our heart, gut, mind, and power to heal our own selves by way of living with memories of who we have been in the past lives and we can remember after death in this life. Life after life is an important part of learning. There are other parts of who we are in the growth process. Our lives are meant to be enjoyed and to explore and to obtain knowledge as wisdom, to know how to survive while terraforming with other teams of masters and the cosmos. We embrace all levels of our life stories. We are forming teams of spiritual science teachers and life coaches. We share what we know and how we have come to exist in an important time on Earth, the Ascension Age. Right Rich is Pastor Rick, who is also an author and a pastor of the Ascension Process as an ACE life coach with Teresa J. Morris. Richard T. Knight has been sharing his life with others as a universal life pastor for over 30 years. Teresa was ordained in a gold pyramid in order to embrace the Unity Church lifestyle. Both Richard and Teresa write their own books and the spiritual journeys they assist in self-help books. Our journey is our own, and everyone needs to feel as if they belong. Sundays, we embrace Unity Core and the All I Am in wisdom and words. We each matter and minds. Own personal divination is a life with those who are deities and become and belong to our immortal family of gods and goddesses. Now, I've been asked to share a lot of who I am with some other groups, including some goddesses groups, which are coming back into the realm after many, many years of sort of lagging behind. And a lot of the light workers we started light workers and truth seekers here years ago, and it really caught on big time for those that study like we did in the 80s and all the way back to the 60s. And we embrace love and light and wisdom and logic and rational reasoning, And we have people that come and go in our reality, and, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz who's behind the curtain. So everybody has a way of talking about that. But our group that we have formed with this radio station, TJ Marcy Radio, is sharing Sundays as the Ascension Age. And the books that we promote and the books coming out in the future. And I'm going to bring on Pastor Rick Knight and let him introduce himself, other than what I've told you here. We both have a long life, but it's what we're creating together now, today, that's important for everyone to listen to. So welcome aboard, and I hope you enjoyed today. So thank you for joining us. Pastor Rick, is this you, Richard T. Knight of Georgia?
Yes, I be here.
Good.
And,
well,
you know,
you want to talk about yourself for a minute?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, I've had the advantage that when I was born, I was connected to Source, and I never lost that connection. So I was very gifted and aware with 14 senses instead of 5. I was abducted at the age of 5 by space beings, and they put a tracking device in my nose, and that tracking device was removed at the age of 35, so 30 years later. So, yes, I've had direct contact with alien or extraterrestrial beings. I am very, very sensitive and very, very aware of all that goes on and comes and goes around me in the spirit realm as well. So I have done lots of investigations paranormally. I have done lots of interventions in regards to psychic matters and occult matters and things of this nature. I have doctorates in theology, divinity, metaphysics, and religious science, so therefore I am very, very well educated. However, throughout life, I've had many, many excursions of all kinds of different fields. I've been a civil criminal investigator for over 40 years. I have had all kinds of different experiences with the supernatural, all kinds of different experiences in life in helping other people in all capacities and ways. Pastor Teresa mentioned, yes, I have been counseling others for over 40 years, actually, in lots of capacity, mainly the spiritual end of things. I am very, very open-minded, very well-read, I love to write, and there are all kinds of different things in my past history that I have found very interesting, and that is why I am open and willing to share the same in the hopes that it may give some kind of insight to others that may be going through similar experiences themselves. So I am a theologian, a philosopher, a mage, a shaman, and I wear many, many, many hats, and it's all based upon not only this life, but hundreds, possibly even thousands of others. I am very much aware that there are more intelligent beings interacting with us on a planetary basis in our individual lives, telepathically and otherwise. And therefore, you know, as we form this Ascension Church Ohana, we open the doors to all sentient beings, regardless of tradition, regardless of life path, etc. And this is basically a buoyancy of love that is coming out from us to be presented to the world in all capacities, forms, and means. Back to you, Teresa.
Thank you. Well, that was a good introduction. And yes, it's good to know who we are and what we've done. And I've written many books out there on Ascension, if you're interested, Ascension Age 2012 and beyond, and many, many others about Ascension out there. And they're all on my teresajmars.com. Look for the heading books, and they are all listed there. And I just sell a few here and there through the month. But I'm going to write one with Pastor Richard about this reality in this year. We're going to get this done, hopefully, on Ascension. But also, we'd like to do one on our past in this reality with our other pastor, which I called again, Ken Sleeping, I guess. His box was full as well, but we like to prompt him because he's our senior in our organization. But basically, For those of you listening, it's now Pastor Rick, Pastor Gwen, or Gigi, as she prefers to be called, and Pastor Ken, and myself. So we have four main, two men and two women, oddly enough, that support or hold up this name and this reality and the four corners so that our tribe can meet. And we have other, many other avenues and portals and projects that we're working on. And it's wonderful to have many of you that are out there interested in what we're doing. So please stay tuned on Sundays. And I know many of you like to have your own insight through us as Ascension Prophets and do readings. And we will get back to that. It's a little taste that keeps people coming back. They like to hear the stories. So we're going under self-help as much as the paranormal and supernatural on Sundays. But this is always about higher source as God. And those of you that follow various different strains of religions, now many people in this reality, just so you know, are light workers, truth seekers. And then we have, life coaches, and we wear counseling hats, and we're practicing metaphysicians. Gods and goddesses are those deities that know they are immortal souls. And many in the past were really not talked about open air or open radio other than with supernatural and metaphysical spirituality, church-type evangelistic shows. But if you hear the different ones on television, they all have a truth. And most of them that are on that I can find on channels are of the Christian faith. And that is fine because Christ is an open portal. And we talked last Sunday, Richard and I, about the cloud that came over and said, "This is my beloved son, here you, of whom I am well pleased." And so just depending on if you think of back in the day when he walked the earth, because as Ascension Prophets, we know he walks the earth. We have an inner knowing as we have past lives. So that is why healing yourself and going back in your past lives and memories among our past life, you can go into transpiring part of who you are through hypnosis or just through your dream state, lucid dream, or ask your divine heart, mind, soul, body, God, inside you, your inner source, to please connect and send knowledge directly to you. We believe all of us in our religion of the Ascension Age are all divinely created. We're all parts of the divine spark of the original monad of logic and reasoning and math for all you polymaths out there. And all you scientists and quantum physics engineers or particle scientists, yes, we embrace spiritual science because that is where the road of logic and reasoning and rational thoughts and behaviors is taking us. Now, in self-help, Richard and I have been fortunate enough to work in education, but more so investigation and putting together security details before we had the internet. And I believe a lot of that has brought us together for knowing how to build a team and to create something that's everlasting here. So, Richard, back to you for a moment.
Yes, indeed. I mean, the Ascension Age is focused on the individual self-development. In other words, meditating, turning inward, connecting with the Christ consciousness, or whatever you wish to call your inner self or higher self within you, and that is the God spark that lives within you. The love that exists in your higher heart, and your higher heart has a voice just as much as your mind. And it is a matter of the higher heart taking precedence over the mind. Not that the mind is not useful, because actually you should be using both, because the mind provides you insight as to what is going on around you. It has hold over your five senses or more, depending on how well you develop your other gifts, such as your psyche and so forth. It is the inner mind and the higher self that in turn combine, and this is what is, you could say, your soul or your spirit identity. Now, of course, if we expand outward and then we start talking energetically and frequency and vibration, we are all unique beings of light, and we each generate our own unique sound, our own unique vibration, and so forth. And as a result of that, this is how we recognize each other. And so there is no real synchronicity in the fact being that we each meet each other upon a path of life or a journey here on the earth, because we are drawn to each other because we match that frequency or vibration. And it's because of that we intermingle and we source out projects and we source out a drive to enhance and bring about prosperity and abundance and good health in the lives of others. So this is where we're focused, and this is where we will stay pretty much. But we, as I have said, we are very, very open-minded. And as Teresa just said, we are very much metaphysicians in practice. So when you start talking metaphysics, then you open the door very, very wide, because it includes numerous topics of spirituality and numerous topics of belief and numerous lineages and traditions that have been around, some for thousands of years and others only maybe for hundreds. It is the insights and the goal in the center of all things is the inner development of the self. And when the self, you know, becomes more aware and more sensitive, then in turn you are more aware of what is going on around you, not purely in a physical level, but also in an energetic level. And it's this energy, this consciousness that we share as a race of human beings that in turn creates our reality that we all experience and that we all partake in. And yet at the same time, we also co-create our own world, one could say, because we choose to some degree, you know, how we relate to our families, how we relate to extended friends and extended families, because oftentimes you meet friends that resonate with you more readily than even your family members and blood do. So therefore, you know, it's, we are all one family, all one race, and we're on this journey together. And now we are burgeoning onto what you could call the age of Aquarius, which basically is the age of enlightenment, which mankind has been waiting for this moment, in a manner of speaking, for a very, very long time, because it is a jump or a leap in consciousness as well as a leap in faith to believe that, you know, that there is a higher power than us. And in joining that higher power as co-creators, we then in turn can recreate, in a manner of speaking, what the earth once was, and do away with all the pollution and the chaos that we currently deal with in our ergo system, one could say. And at the same time, we bring ourselves forward. And so there is much love, and we attempt to do away or resolve all that is negative and repel it from us and change it and transform it into something that is more benevolent in vibration and resonance. And as a result of that, we hope to join into a society that is love-driven, love-centered, and love-focused. And as a result of that, all things that are malevolent or evil or negative per se, energetically will in turn be transformed so that in turn it matches the frequency of ourselves and our group and our race, and in turn we can transform the entire planet. But yet at the same time, we must all join in harmony, and this is something that has not been done for a very, very long time. Back to you, Teresa. Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I had to unmute. I had to wait for it to say unmuted. we're both muting to keep the sound down, but we make good radio, folks, and we put it out there. Fortunately, all the big companies are all working together now. Like I said, we have Blog Talk, part of VoxNest, part of Spreaker, part of iHeart. And so we have an overhead, so if you'd like to donate to what we're doing today, we're going to do our best to make sure that you all feel included in a level that you may or may not be aware of yet. But our country in America, where we're broadcasting from today, has a long history of groups, teams, religions, all the way back to where we founded this colony in this 13 states and the now 48 lower, and we have Alaska, and we have a lot of providences, and we have groups that really want to know that we're international now. So we are ACO International. We'll see ACO, a brand for many things that we do in healing, health, medical, spirituality, and pastors that have been called to be who we are now and to share what we have. And know that, please know, K-N-O-W, that wisdom is obtained usually by many, 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 many lifetimes. So some of the old people that are walking the planet have learned the things that were presented to them by extraterrestrials or beings walking the earth just like Jesus did. They never stopped. It was simply that man was recording history as it occurred where they were. And those sages are the ones that did the scribing with their groups or cults or the Gnostics or whomever that kept those scribes alive at the time were in groups, tribes, teams, cultures, little towns, some that escaped from the big city where the main three of the world religions in the beginning was way before the ones at the Mount that we cherish so much in Israel now, because I don't know if all of you saw the white light that shot up as extraterrestrial proof that all stars above, all immortals are still out there. And those that can see, see. Those that can hear, hear. And it's set up with the wisdom for those because we have various levels of immortal souls coming down to this reality or this planet. And in order to survive and to learn how to survive, not everybody understands the big picture or the big deal or a table deal that they were given. Some call it a contract. Others just call the all I am as I left the all-knowing, all-seeing, all I am. I am a spark of the all I am and the resource that is. And those are the mysteries that all the world religions talk about in their own faith denomination world religions. And many world religions have come and gone on this planet because they outgrew their worthiness or their team, town, time, epic, age. And now that Richard and I are open source intelligence information officers for those above, we call the Allied Command Intergalactic Relations. We, as the ACIR security team, also work with what comes and goes as far as keeping the power of truth on the planet, regardless of what plate, what country that we divide ourselves by. We are all united in space, in the place that we call the cosmos. So there are many galactic federation groups out there that claim their heritage or DNA, our historical culture from various planets. And many of you may be involved in knowing how to write books of such ancestry, heraldry. And that is great if you are called to do that. We have many jobs on the planet and off planet, and some of them are actually running the cosmos. And I hear a lot of thunder in this, and my house has got really dark. So if I lose you, Richard, I'll call back in, or if I get dropped, because we never know due to the weather. But, you know, this is the things that we don't control here. Now, some people do say our governments around the world have worked together and have some type of control over the weather, and that may or may not be true. We have not finding of facts to purport that other than what man has in order to research. And most of your researchers and educators of world knowledge are all controlled through institutions that are man-made. And this includes the empirical power of gods, kings, and queens, empirical empire. Many of you have seen Game of Thrones. Many of you know of the heraldry of those of the Rosicrucians that came to Pennsylvania in 1694 and many other groups besides that. And some of them even became Masons here, and that was a good thing because of the revolution and getting things started, including back in 1730. So there was a duke that came and granted Daniel Combe in New Jersey, one of the earliest known Masonic deputations, I guess, to reach American Grand Master of New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And a lot of you feel like that those lodges are antiquated or groups because you've not been initiated in as a endorser, neophyte, or been asked to join. And I understand that. And this group that we're forming is not of the Mother Lodge or the Grand Lodge of England, but Masonic historian Albert McKay believes the lodges probably were existing much earlier back in the old country, but their records have been lost. Now, I've seen in many world religions, including those in America made by Joseph Smith, that he was a Freemason. He spoke of America colonies and the reason that they separated on their journey in Missouri and other places from New York across when he got golden plates from an angel was the fact that he took them, scribed them with two big jewels that he used, and like a breastplate that his people are the people that he prophesied about as a prophet and started a huge world religion. And you can see the big temples around the world. It's one of the fastest growing religions today. But some people call it a cult because they don't agree with exact Catholicism or exact Judaism, but I have been one and come and grown through one of many, including being a Baptist when I needed it and a Methodist when I needed it. I think that's the only three. Let's see, Baptist, Methodist, LDS. Yep, that's it. Then Ascension, because God called me when he called me back into, believe it or not, government service, because I believe that the extraterrestrials I work with will have God, love, and light. And the Masonic order, I was told, would always provide protection for me if I needed it. So sometimes I wonder if those are our old Knights Templar and Men in Black, because I have a past memory of doing that type of work, heralding in the old Onward Christian Soldiers, which I sang as a child in the Baptist Church, Trinity Baptist Church in West Monroe, Louisiana. But I was christened, so I have been a Christian, as one might say, in human form in this reality as from birth. And I was a very guarded and loved child and very much protected. And when I died the first time, the Catholic Church was involved, and they wanted to know why I saw angels and wanted to know, and I'm sure it got reported up to the Pope. And then when I was married to a man later on in years, I get to sort of understand how all that works in that part of the reality of world religions. And my husband that's passed over, deceased, came down on a 20-year and back program and a group of beings, but his family didn't know, his human family, which I hope people can understand that as we speak as ascension prophets on the supernatural church in 2021, that we are enlightened with wisdom of our coming and going from this planet in various ways. The ascension process is the one Jesus taught, our Yeshua, or the man, whomever you want to call him, of the five Jesuses or more. And those stories, whether you've embraced them or not, is your own history, heraldry, our root of your Christianity, that is up to you, each individual. However, because he has been in this reality one of the largest factors on the planet with extraterrestrials, he has created the first ascension portal in this time or this epoch that time is made by humans, because while we're here on Earth, we need a linear timeline to understand all that goes on in the cosmos. There's a cosmological order, and we have many, many beings that live for thousands of years. And those that came before were talked about, and there's been many debates over whether they're real, whether they're good, whether they're just anthology or they're theology, philosophical thought processes that catch on in a rhythm or an amalgamation of thoughts, words, and deeds to become memories historically. And these are the thoughts that have been come up, that have been kept by many of these ancient mystic orders. And I, for one, like Madame Blavatsky, I didn't go to Russia or China, but I've pretty much been everywhere else except Bosnia to see the pyramids there that we worked with Dr. Samir Osmanagic on his tours there with Marta Thomas of Chicago when we helped usher in the first pyramid, Global Pyramid Conference. Now, she has, that was her design and her event, but that was when we started talking around the world to all the highest level of intelligences in the pyramidology and speaking about connecting the grid back. Now, this is a grid that one can't see, but the Akashic field among all of us mystics, oracles, psychics, sages, seers, shaman, every other name, counselor, acting, metaphysician, goddess, god, deity, lower deities, talk about together. And we acknowledge it like it exists. And Urban Laszlo wrote a great book. I can't quote the name of it right now. Something of the theory or the God theory or theory of everything by Urban Laszlo, which you can get on Inner Traditions, which I hope Richard and I can start promoting some of our books through that channel because it's the most common now. And Simon & Schuster is the largest distributor next to Amazon and Barnes & Nobles. But Simon & Schuster does the books for that. But a lot of you may want to read what we're going to be putting forth in the future for our children on the planet that will in the future be reading our scribe scriptures and those things that became real and evident for those that can see, smell, taste, touch, and involve space among others in this about past lives. So I'm going to ask Pastor Richard or Pastor Rick, I haven't decided which one feels comfortable rolling off my butt, being that he is an immortal being and knows that, that is the wisdom in knowing. How can you know that? Well, let's let him tell you. Pastor Rick, okay, would you like to discuss some past lives and how you know you're immortal with reincarnation in this reality? Just to help people understand, we may seem different, but we're not really among many, many people that talk just like us about extraterrestrials, but also that they have memories of past lives and some being, maybe some lives had trials, logical and illogical, but we became masters of the universe by maybe being Masons or Templars, Knight Templars, if you know where I'm going with this. So any of those things that you could enlighten people in this conversation today? And I'll mute.
Well, the last memory that I've had was the last life before this one. And I was a captain in the Civil War. I was with the rebels or the Southern armies in the Confederacy in comparison to the Union, which was the Bluecoats. And basically I was leading a small regiment of men in Virginia, and we are scouting to see if in fact there were supply trains going through to supply the Union Army that was in the process of beginning to invade Virginia. And I was sent, like I said, with a small regiment, maybe 20 or 30 men. And we were scouting, and we went around a sort of small mountain anyway, and we came into a valley. And I sent scouts around to see if, in fact, there were any infantrymen of the opposing forces hiding in the forest and so forth, and they came back with information stipulating that there were, but they were a good few miles away. So we in turn moved forward as a regiment out from under the cover of woods into this valley. And unfortunately, when we did, we were ambushed. And so all of my regiment were shot, and I myself, when I turned to help a fallen man, since I was a doctor, and that's how I became a captain in the Confederacy anyway, I turned to lean over to help a fallen regiment, a fallen member of my regiment, and in so doing, as I turned my back, I was shot in the back 3 times and instantly killed. And I have direct memory of this, and ironically, this back pain has been with me basically all of my life. And of course, it was restipulated because I happened to get into an accident where I actually hydroplaned 3 times, and fortunately, I neither hit any oncoming vehicles from the other side of the road or those that were coming behind me. And the car went down an embankment, and the only thing that stopped it, even though it was pointed upwards towards the road, was a telephone pole. So I believe this jostled and may have allowed in perhaps what you would call karmic energy, or just the energy of these wounds that needed to be healed from the last time that I died. Now, this again is a scenario of belief that people claim that, you know, when you die sometimes in a tragic death, that sometimes the pains of that tragedy in turn are transferred over to you, because naturally they're kept as a memory and kept as an experience in your spirit. And therefore, when you reincarnate, those kinds of pains and so forth have to be healed, not only on a spiritual level, but also on a physical and emotional level. And so you go back in your history, in your memories. Now, of course, besides that, I've been here, at least to my knowledge, probably hundreds of times. I have many memories of being different persons in different countries. I was a Knights Templar at one point in time, and I know that I was traveling between France and Germany, and then in turn from Germany eventually to Turkey, and then in turn towards the Americas. Now, I don't know precisely exactly at what age I died or my exact identity. I've only had what you would call memory flashes. In other words, it's like you say, okay, I want to open my Akashic records or my life history on the planet, and you are shown in flashes like a movie that you lived as this person in this place and you had these kinds of experiences. And then it moves on from there. And I mean, I've been a soldier and I've been a knight and I've been a warrior and a samurai and just all kinds of different things in all kinds of different cultures and all kinds of different areas of the world in all kinds of different countries around the world. And it is not illusory, okay? These are memories that are very intense and very intact. In other words, it's like you're watching a movie, but the movie that you're watching is actually a movie of yourself. So you're the actual participant that you're seeing in the movie that is, you know, undertaking all these different experiences and so forth. And these memories become stored, I guess you could say, in your overmind, because it's not in your regular consciousness. You have to kind of reach up and say, okay, I want to open the door to all of my past lives, and there they are. Now, of course, there are many people that are gifted guides that will actually put you in somewhat of a trance or take you through a meditative state that in turn will allow you to enter into your Akashic records on the other side. Now, when I say the other side, of course, I'm talking about transiting between the earth plane to the spirit world, because it's the spirit world is where the chamber of wisdom is at. And this chamber of wisdom, basically the Hall of Records, holds all of the Akashic records for the entirety of our entire race as given individuals. And you can tour this Hall of Records, and you could actually sit down and watch all of your past lives to some extent. Now, I mean, you know, there's knowledge that we need at times here as we journey upon the path that we are living in, and then there's other knowledge that we don't necessarily need, but we have all of this wisdom and all of this garnered experience from all the various lives that we've had. And it's the wisdom and experience, or the knowledge and experience, that is more crucial than it is actually going forth and identifying exactly who you were and exactly when it was and exactly what part of civilization you were in and what culture and tradition and all that kind of thing. Because naturally, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, I was royalty, and a great many have been royalty, you know, in various cultures, whether it be the UK or whether it be Spain or, you know, any of numerous countries around the world. And, you know, I do believe, of course, wholeheartedly in reincarnation. And I do believe that we have access to all of those various lives and experiences if we so choose to garner that access. Okay, again, you see, you're only inquiring about yourself. And when you inquire about yourself, the door opens, you know, because as the old saying goes, ask and it is given, you know, ask and it is shown. And I have memories and flashes of memories, not only here on the planet, but also on other planets. Now, I know that's probably going to sound even more far-fetched. But again, you see, we are one spirit entity that in turn has had many lives in many planets, in many galaxies, and even in many universes, okay? And if, who knows how old a given person is, the person themselves can't even tell you for sure. But when we go to the other side, we then become aware of exactly who we are and where all we have been and where we come from. And of course, many people now are identifying as star seeds and light workers and so forth that are here as emissaries and parts of teams that are working for various planetary civilizations, such as the Pleiades, and of course you have Lyrans and you have Andromedans and you have a whole bunch of different galaxies and a whole bunch of different planetary systems, wherein they in turn are here as members of the Galactic Federation to help mankind to transit into ascension. And the ascension process is an inward process. Now, no one says that it's easy, okay? But it is an inward process in which one basically becomes expanded in their awareness and raising in their vibration. And therefore, their frequency raises. And as your frequency and vibration raise, then you become more and more aware of a whole more information than what you would normally have otherwise just accepted the reality that in which we work and we visit others and we interact with others on a day-to-day basis. So that's my take basically on reincarnation. Yes, I do know for a fact that I've been here for a very long time and with many lives in many different places. And in addition to that, this is not the only place that I have been, nor may I also be. Because you see, as a spiritual entity, your spirit is not limited to any one given life in one given location. Now, I'm not saying that people are running around and they have three or four bodies here on Earth that are all each experiencing different cultures and civilizations all at the same time. I would not go as far as to say that it is not possible, but I do not believe that that would be completely to our advantage. Rather, I would go as far as to say it is very easy to understand that we could easily have a life and another body or persona on another planet at the same time that we have one here presently. So that's a very, very expanded outlook on things, I'm sure. And of course, that's only my humble opinion, and you're welcome to take it or leave it. That's up to you. I mean, after all, I am the one that has the knowledge and the wisdom that has been gained from all of these experiences. And it is this that I can share and this that I can put into books and so on and so forth. Back to you, Teresa.
Very good. Yes, folks. We all have lives that we've lived in the past, whether here on this planet or others. It is now a common way to talk, at least in our cyberspace culture, on the internet highway with various groups that we have all helped in social media and among all those groups that I helped personally back in the day with many, many people when the intelligence community was so connected to us getting off the planet. And I lived through the memories of, like I said, as a child, when I saw angels that having hepatitis A, infectious hepatitis, but no one ever found out how I got it, which I thought was absolutely amazing. Consider the power of the hospitals at the time and the church, which was the Catholic Church, that was in charge of my human frailty body as a child, because I was in St. Francis Hospital, and it was the Catholics that tended to me, the women that were dressed that way. Now, my aunt worked in that hospital. She, for many years, was the manager over all of housekeeping, Lina Aston, for those of you that are history buffs or in genealogy, ancestry, which many people are, as to how our lives cross, our DNA, are those that we come to by agreement or by contract, by the LDS terminology, according to Ascension Age, embracing all that comes after the Scientology and the Latter-day Saints and the Catholics and the Jews and the Muslims and all the Masonic lodges, are as Rosicrucian, are any esoteric world realities, including Madame Blavatsky's and the Unity Church. There are many different paths that we can choose in using words of wisdom, and not just whether one believes or not in someone else's stories that were left behind. But Joseph Smith is looked at by many, many people trying to disprove those beings that he profited and found out about and wrote the Book of Mormon. And, you know, I have nothing to confirm or deny to anybody about his reality, because I didn't live it. I just studied it and did research on it and historically lived it from 1972 forward. But due to the intelligence community that I was working in as an extraterrestrial life form, knowing of my past lives from the time I was a child, I was sent over to meet some other relatives of mine in which, how does one do this after one has died and saw angels? Other than I, in my mind's eye in this reality, even though I didn't know my past lives then, at the age of 7 in the second grade, I was very mature after this. I was different. But I had been taken as a child, about 4 years old, above extraterrestrially. So I had a common bond with a family that had spacecraft, our vehicles not of Earth origin. And at the time, we were never involved with others to have a chance to speak about these things. But when I came of age in the second grade and saw angels with my first out-of-body experience, but now I learned the difference, and that's why I believe I was chosen as an ascension prophet, based on all my worldly wisdom in this reality, not just that of past lives or aboard ships, because from the people that I learned from as extraterrestrials in another place in time, it was still on this linear timeline, at least in my mind. So I ask that if each one of you are a mortal being and a part of the all I am, are a spark or flake or tiny snow crystal, there's many ways to say what drop we are in the ocean of the all I am, but we all discuss it, whether it's a monad in the way that we think of as the philosophers back to Aristotle, or for the reason of speaking on the planet on television and radio, is the fact that we try to keep it as close to all world religions in Christianity, because of the location that I presently am involved with on the North American continent, and in the United States of America. Now, we'll tell you that after my lifeline shows what we do is usually when we meet someone, basically you may or may not know that, but they like to know a little about you. So we'll have people coming on this show that will discuss who they are and their story of origin or their path of origin. And that includes their family, where they were born or where they touched down on their time, or their birthday, how old they are, how many years on this earth plane they've lived. And each person that involves with another is like serendipity and synchronicity, and each one can find the link or click in, which the even at the smallest universal level inside our own guts, our own nervous system, and the way our brains work with dendrites, the thing is that we have messages electronically that they recognize in our nervous system all over our body that we all have in common. So this triggers each of us with a new beginning or a new piece of our own selves. That's why the ascension age is so important, unity universally, accepting that we internationally among friends on the internet can all become involved, no matter what you call it, whether it's science, philosophy, I don't know what else, religions, church, state, education, filing paperwork because you have to, because that's the way we say that we do things in North America, which benefits the entire rest of the world. Now, empirically speaking, even in China, the first emperor was said to have come and knows this, and it's in his history that he came from the stars extraterrestrial. So they, of course, admire and talk of many deities, including all the Terras, the red, blue, green, white, whatever you want to say, and the dragon family, because whether a dragon was, we had dinosaurs, and men walked with them. They've proven that even in this reality. So there's a lot of things that we learned in our past that we didn't understand. We just took for granted as a knowledge level base. And we separated the various words into threads or tracks, as we say, that were on CDs. Now they're in MP3, MP4, and PDFs. But we're all learning new languages based on what we're describing as words. So that's the importance of knowing who you are, where you've been. And it's hard to get to the future if you don't know where you've been. And that is an old saying historically, and that's why it hurts and pains so many of us that have lived in these ancient worlds that are still here, seeing Greece. I've had many lives in pyramid building and in Greece, and my family line and who I am in the DNA sequencing, but also the other level, the higher level, which we discuss, the seven levels of being of who you are. Right now, they're studying the brain in the ocean together. We say we haven't known the depths that's in the ocean because a lot of it with the templates that Mother Earth cleans herself with, and the volcanoes, of course, water, fire, earth, wind are four elements in the four corners, but the fifth level, our fifth element and the fifth dimension that we speak of is our essence, is in that which pertains essence in each one of us. So our essence is our energy, our vibration, our frequency, and that can be leveled up just like tuning in on a radio or a television. And what I speak is pretty common to most people that I know, leveling up in the levels of rationality, logic, intelligence, science, and philosophy. And some of the greatest theologists know this and have kept the threads of intelligence because of the unity of all life forms on the planet in the empirical design that was designed by those that came from the heavens. Those from the heavens came and set up an empirical way of learning because of the needs to meet humankind on the planet. And yes, we've been advancing and accelerating. Now, one of the groups my husband and I worked with, I'll tell you, in space, the ones that I am allegedly thinking, I'm going to have to put that in a book, because the book that's I've never told is the story and how I see it from my own mind's eye as an ascension master working with the ascended masters. And many people know that they all lived prior to Elizabeth Clare Prophet, but that group of Elizabeth Clare Prophet and her husband get a lot of claim for books that followed her and her position. And that is a whole place in North America continent. There's also Clare, let me wait on her, because McCarty, I met her in, let's say, Kentucky, and then we both, that's the Love and Light crew with Jim McCarty, Don Elkins, and the channeler. And why am I not remembering her name all of a sudden? Carla. I think it was Carla. And before she was the McCarty, what was Carla? I can't remember now. It's always there, but she was one of the light workers, and she was Episcopalian. And so we still know that these are threads of our, regardless if we're prophets, sleeping prophets like Edgar Cayce, are, do you remember her name? Folks, even in this reality, when I start, we don't have anything scripted, and I'm 69, going to be 70 this year. Richard, do you remember Carla's name on the book, The Law of One? Well, anyway, it was that group, The Raw Material by Ra, an humble messenger of the Law of One. Now, she was a channeler. And I don't know, let me see here. I've got one of her books.
Remember her name offhand.
Well, I'm speaking about people that do what Richard and I do, and we channel. Okay, here it is. Don Elkins, Carla L. Ruckert. She was born in 1943, so I was born in 51. She's a few years older, and James McCarty. Now, James McCarty, later on her caregiver and husband, was born 1947 in Kearney, Nebraska. Carla L. Ruckert was born 1943 in Lake Forest, Illinois. Ooh, that is a beautiful part of, I love that. And she had a master's degree, studies in library service. Believe it or not, she served as a librarian and bibliographer in college. And she did study physics, by the way, as we do, maybe not scholastically getting a credit for it, but I happen to know that about her and talked to her for many times before she was dying. So in the late 2000s, late 90s and early 2000s. And then Don Elkins was born in Louisville, Kentucky in 1930. Now, he had 4 degrees. He had taught mechanical engineering at the University of Alaska and physics and engineering at the University of Louisville in 1965. He left as a professor of physics. He had tenured there at the University of Louisville to give himself more time for research. So he pursued all his adult life, basically what Richard and I are doing, and he became a Boeing 727 captain for a major airline in his reality. But he died November 7th, 1984. And I can't confirm or deny that I met him, Carl, or James in this reality, although I did go to Louisville. And there's many things that we are meant to do as individuals, as scribes and channelers. And I'm like a channel. In other words, a prophet, sleeping or going into another state of your mind, which is like beta, alpha, theta, delta, gamma. And let's see, beta, alpha, theta, delta. Delta Gamma, and they say Tau 6 because of, I can drop names, but the Tau, and then the last 7th of God on high, we haven't given a Greek name. We've been using Sigma, but I don't know why, other than my daughter and I got that through Revelation. but she definitely confirmed before she died as extraterrestrial, giving up her life at an early age. She was January 27, 74, till March, actually, I would say 15th, but that was the day we were at the hospital, but March 16th, because they go by when your heart stops in this reality. So it was March 16th, 2019. Now, she is one of the forefathers of this church, and the reason of the name Ascension Church Ohana, chosen by the ACO, and the way that God meant her and me to be together in this reality is all about these people that could channel extraterrestrially. And she was out, as she said, working among the stars, and I'm sure she's returned there because many people that are star babies, okay, these are star seeds or star babies, they like looking down on the planet and observing and showing themselves as many planets or stars out there. So I don't know how many of you have ever heard that, but this is a truth in the ascension reality that you can always go back and be a planet. You can be a cosmos, a galaxy, if you graduate with that many levels. Now, my graduation, I'll go back to the second grade going over to White Sands, and you'll know why I've been telling you all of this. When I went over there, I had already been taken at the age of four from a field down from my house on South 7th Street in Monroe, Louisiana, up to a ship to a family that I felt a different love. If you've ever felt euphoric or very much in love, like I can't explain it. You have to feel it. It's like a endorphin high, I guess, or like a gambling feeling that you can get, and you have to leave it. It's it makes you feel love, but it's agape, but it's a transition, but a magnet that pulls you. And some people go with the electronic behavior of your nervous system, empathetic and paraempathetic. We have two systems. One, paraempathetic, is on what they call automatic pilot. That helps you breathe and heart. And when you see someone die, like I saw my daughter, you watch all these things happen and your body wanting to remain alive, and hers really did. Her spirit was very powerful. But there was one little entity, one tiny little piece that they could not get in cancer out of her bone sinew. She had cancer of the bone that she got from painting. And the chemicals in the paint and the chemicals and the clean up the chemicals of paint. And it's also in the ocean. But that's in this reality. So where it's the road meets the rubber, as we used to say, as I was a truck driver in this reality, is the fact that regardless of how woo-woo and the woo-woo world, they like to say, of those that study all things that are not physical, it's paranormal. It's considered not the normal. And she was very much into esoterics, but the most worldly religion with Christ that I'd ever known. Definitely, she called him her father, and she painted a church, and she saw an angel in white kneeling at the altar at the church here at Unity, and it's grown unbelievably since she painted that church, not Unity, Liberty Church. It's like a Unity Church. Pastor Rice and his wife run it. But she knew and told them that was her father's church, and they had to understand her language. She was very much endowed with Christ and talking of him as her father and her portal through ascension, which she would use, and she believed in being buried in her body and that it will be raised. She's one of those that believes her body in her religion was Ascension Church Ohana, and that Christ is the head of the church, unwavering. So he is the magic and the supernatural being that came and went and showed people in the history. And she studied unbelievable. And so I'm so glad that Richard and I found the courage to come out on her behalf with at least the words and in writing and in electronics to help other people find their path, if it is going to be that through Yeshua, which she believed was his name, as the many Jesuses. And where I'm going with this is the extraterrestrial beings, they were like that feeling you get when I get it when I'm leaving my body, when I know I'm passing. When I had her, I literally died, and so did she. So I didn't get to ask extraterrestrials like mundane questions that were, you know, in my, you think, well, when you get there, you're going to ask all these questions. No, you're caught up in such a feeling of awe, of being in a oneness of love, in a presence of a deity that is so much higher than yourself. You really are just there to be and to grok or to receive love. And that love is created in energy that we operate at the seventh level. And that seventh level is like your last thing to go. They say that you're only dead when your heart stops. So that's why they gave her a number in the morning when they two women had to come in and call it, which was after she'd actually passed. But all this is relevant to each one of us as an individual deity in a human form. So in order to be an immortal essence, one must first learn what that means. And many people on their inner awakening of themselves have not studied their vehicle, their body. I suggest on Netflix, there is a series on the human body, but you may want to watch that. I've watched it, fell asleep during the night watching it, but it will really help you understand how your body works. And it's very colorful, and you'll see how your whole body works. But then the essence that I'm talking about in White Sands, New Mexico, was that. But it was inside a creative consciousness of what we call a spacecraft that is part of disclosure of White Sands and Area 51 and all those things that we celebrate about our level that we don't understand, the supernatural mysteries between us walking on the planet and those coming and going as Jesus did, as others did in spacecraft. Now, when we talk about those from the heavens came, they've never stopped. And that's why Richard was telling you that there's other beings on the planet that are tribing up or teaming up based on their cultural heritage and their wisdom and their essence and their mind of the Ascension Masters, and also what we call the Galaxy Federation, which I believe the name was adapted because of so many people that believed in the future as Star Trek that we have seen on television from the 60s moving forward. That is the best utopian world among officers in space. And what I saw, they were much more angelic behavior, but there are those that are separated that we can talk about that are of these grand designs or grand masters or the grand architects of the universe, and they know who they are. They are embedded in all our societies at all levels of creation, so we can level up in the empirical status of being. Now, I'll tell you what I know when my husband and daughter were creating this reality with me, and my mother, a historian and a publicist, she never believed in UFOs at all, and that in her mind, she never got past that the Bible was a fairy tale, and she never was a Latter-day Saint or believed it was believed in the words written by a man as far as the translation can be correctly transposed or transcribed, as many that we call evangelicals and those that believe only what they've heard. I saw many people and lived with many people, at least for 20 years in one lump sum of 20 years in Kentucky, that so many people still couldn't read or write in the hills of Kentucky. That's Mitch McConnell land. I don't think he cares about those people. Personally speaking about people, whether they can read or write in the hills of Kentucky, because they've never taken on helping those people learn how to take care of themselves, and they turn around and use it on the culture they lived in. So as the ascension and those of the pastors in that particular state, we do discuss the levels of ascension accordingly based on what you can grok or learn or educate oneself into maintaining food, clothing, shelter, of course, water, information to keep your person, yourself alive first, and then it's always been families, those you're born into, which we say biologically your DNA family, and those people have not really educated from time to time in the hills of Kentucky. Just I'm using just that as an example because it's the most frequently mind-bending or mind wanting to understand why society has not moved forward in the Appalachians after what Richard described as Civil War. And some of them as coal miners, their family were coal miners, and I lived among them. And that's how I got my first event in Ace Folk Life and worked with the Bill Monroe Foundation here. However, none of them ever even were told or expected to talk about UFOs or my life in and out of an extraterrestrial involvement in my DNA, which was because we stayed with an uncle that worked at the Los Alamos Missile Range, and when I went in second grade, remembered them and went on Indian base because he was married to a full 100% tribeswoman or Indian woman, and at the same time, when the extraterrestrial ship came down, I told his two children that, now my uncle and aunt brought me over with my grandmother from Monroe. Now, I willed myself to go there. I made that happen through the Indian that was my uncle Rufus Henry, and he drove us Route 66 from Monroe, which is like I-20 now, I guess, all the way out to Los Alamos and White Sands Missile Range. And then we played in the White Sand Dunes. And the extraterrestrials put my cousins to sleep on the high. One was 10 and 13, a boy 10 and a girl 13. But they were the ones that showed that we were all laying on the very top point of the White Sand Dunes at the park. The adults were down at a cement picnic table and along the highway. So they had let us finally go play after we had a lunch. But we were up there 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the evening. It was starting to get dusk. But right before that, a ship came overhead, and they pointed it out, the 13-year-old and the 10. Yeah, look, it's a, I think he called it a spaceship. Trying to remember exact words. But that came down, and it set below. But as it flew over, I could see it and was watching them. And they laid down and went to sleep. And I was like, what? What are you doing? And they went to sleep. So I was chosen, as many of us are. We can't tell you why some will be going to sleep and others will be awakened. But I was chosen to go down and meet my Earth family or my extraterrestrial family again for the second time. So I believe that they monitor us, these levels of our families, our DNA. Like Richard has said, he had an implant. I may have one still. I don't know that they need them. I was never told. From what I can see, extraterrestrials don't need those, at least the kind that I've worked with. But I'm told I have something in my back that can't be explained. An attorney told me himself after seeing the doctors, all the work in the case for me. But the point is these extraterrestrials come and go as they please. They have various levels, entities. Angelic realm is one level, we understand. We know some of them are benevolent and some of them are malevolent. And the archons and the deities, there is actually a planet out there that was, we named it Archon, but there are planets and there's books out there you can read, including Lynn Kasdan's latest. He actually wrote, I believe, Robert Morningsky's story that was in, his grandfather had told him about extraterrestrials, and they came from out there in a place and they looked more like grasshoppers, I believe, or locust or something like that. I've forgotten the story. But each person has their story. But my story is they, after that time, they left me alone until I started coming of age as a teenager. And they started teaching me psychic abilities. Again, I learned them from the time I was a 2-year-old in my room, and my mother couldn't see them. So beings would come. I remember a little short being. And there's all types out there. There's all types of white, blue, pink, gray, light gray, dark gray, tall, short. I don't know. I've never seen any insectoids. I've never seen any half humans. I've never seen half fish. I had a cousin that said she was a mermaid, and I believed her. She had green hair from birth, greenish blue, and she swam like a fish. She just didn't have a tail. But in her mind, she imagined one. And so I can't confirm or deny that those exist, mermaids, but there's a whole clan of people in the extraterrestrial world from the ocean, and it's said to be controlled by those beings that we can't see, and they stay out of sight. They have their own dimension and their own level of letting who sees them on the rocks, if you've seen some of those stories or seen some of those YouTube. So that's something that is a mystery or supernatural. But do they exist? In my mind's eye, I want to believe it. So that would be a faith. It's not a knowing. Now, the extraterrestrials taught me about knowing without talking. So I have that wisdom. And they did not give me my past lives to me. I had to work for those over 70 years. But they taught me that they existed. So when the ascension age came, which I thought was 1226, my birthday, 2012, because my mother and father had to pass in order for me to do my work. My father and mother were lovers and made me, created me in this reality, and neither believed in what I was or who I was or knew. They only knew I was a very smart child, that I could do things other children couldn't. They didn't talk about it, nor was I allowed to talk about seeing these beings that came and went that they couldn't explain. But no, they saw me do things, lift things with my mind and make plants dance. I could break things. I could start a fire. I could do a lot of things that they could not explain. And so they just told me that I was ambidextrous, meaning both hands, and that I was just very different or special. But I was normal in school. So I believe that some of us that are trained as extraterrestrials that do work with those that come and go in the different dimensions are also allowed to see these spacecraft that everyone wants to know about in June 2021. And it's coming through as parapsychology, theology, philosophy, and a knowing in the church, which are the people that follow those that have come and gone before. So that is like your ancient aliens on the History Channel, alien civilizations exist, alien ancient astronauts. And Richard and I are multi-talented as far as hats, but we also are asked to help with the skills and talents, but above all, have an unconditional love for each and every spark of the I Am at the highest level. Now, the extraterrestrials that I was involved with, I reported to the government. I reported to James Moody, Leo Sprinkle. I used to have letters from them and Ruth Montgomery when I was rehired back into the intelligence agency. May 10th, 1987. And I've asked Richard to help co-write our ghost book for me, him, and Ken. So I think that is going to be of interest in reading. But we'll take in some of the historical accounts with extraterrestrials as part of the real disclosure. But the real disclosure is going to come through those that have that spark in them to go inside and recognize that they can go in through their selves, their training, their closing all their the parasympathetic nervous system will stay on, but you quiet your mind and go into a peaceful state. And many people believe in meditation, including in India, the yogis, and even Buddha, Buddhism and Zen. Meditation has gotten to be quite common, 20 minutes, preferably 30, if you can do it and through yourself in what we now call the ascension process of knowing how your energy is connected to the energy of Mother Earth as well as Father Sky among tribal Indian beings that are very close to the deities and the gods that have, from the heavens came. Now, this is going to sound like the same repertoire, the same stories over and over again that you've heard in different realms or different books or different channels. It all comes out to be the glue of the matter, antimatter, they call the dark matter, out past the 38.9 billion years, I believe, that humans have designed their linear reality to believe that they can only be in excess or enlightened to the energy that can be obtained through the retinas or the human eyes that can be foreseen through telescopes. And that is part of cosmology, but it's only the beginning for humankind because in through history we've had all these prior. They're just lost, like the Antikythera, the mechanism for things we find now as artifacts. But for Richard and I discussing who we are in past lives and who we are extraterrestrially, it's all about the same thing, is the human essence, that which is the fifth element. And the fifth dimension is enlightening yourself that you have a foot in this reality and a foot in an immortal reality with your soul oversoul or soul self, that this spirit or essence that you are here can go back like a radio wave. You may turn the TV on and turn the TV off. So think of yourself like a vehicle or TV in this reality. It's strictly a vehicle to get you around to do what you need to do in order to learn to survive, to help those of us that are terraforming planets and going out to other galaxies and other universes. They do exist. Now, they may not show themselves in the ways that people want them to, but I guarantee you it's going on because I have firsthand knowledge of it. And all the groups in this reality honored God's word of not discussing Mother God's name or mortal, eternal first description of Father, Mother, God, Goddess. And so that is something you'll never hear out of any Ascension Master or Ascended Master's name, because none of us are allowed to speak it. That's how Cosmic Egg is protected, is because humans learning about them, their part of the whole, they knew coming from the God realized would not realize what they're saying and doing. Ergo, why our highest source of I Am sent the Father, Son being, the deity, through an Immaculate Conception for Mother Mary. Now, that's Virgin Mary, or that is a story on the planet with a human body. And many people study that and believe in that very much. And the Catholic Church was founded on the rock of St. Peter, or Peter on his rock would he build the church. Jesus was saying that, and many people still believe that today. And they are very scientific now, and they hold a lot of the ancient manuscripts that no one else has because of Rome and the empire over there, and they are their own country on this planet. and they own a lot of the history that wasn't burned up or lost in fires or earthquakes or quakes or volcanoes, or the lost years of Atlantis are in Mu. And Lemuria, which we talked about, a man named Jack or John Churchwood, I believe, named Lemuria after lemurs that were found on that island. That's where the name Lemuria comes from. For all of you that know, Mu came from the ancient ones of the Anunnaki, or the sky god, An, and Mu, and Mother Mu was all we were allowed to say, as Mu, Ma, Mom, Mum, and Mu is Mother, or Mother Earth, as a Sophia energy essence that creates all energy life forms, including planets, and those that shine as stars, and the galaxies, and all of that of the All I Am. If all of you wonder about your deities and the female essence of the cosmic egg that was in the beginning of the I Am. Now, Richard portrays a physical male body, but he also recognizes himself as both, like I do. And it's best if you learn to use both sides, your left and right brain, and they are separate. As you can see in people with a stroke, their right or left side will shut down. And also, they're learning about the housing of the mind. And the extraterrestrials have some of them have larger because of all the years and the many eons that their reality of living billions of years, they have much more intelligence of coming and going. And since I'm going to tell you something, that time doesn't matter here, but they do keep, like, they understand, of course, because they set up humankind on this planet at various levels and stages in space and the cosmos, of timekeeping. So I'm very much about time travel books, because it takes you on a journey in your past lives to find out who you are, like the time machine. So many of us have this time traveling ability, and some of us have all accepted that we can go into our dream state. And in through there is a portal of ascension through lucid dreaming. Then once you know you're alive here on planet Earth and you're dreaming and you know yourself and you're going and you're flying, which I do a lot and I've done many times out of body, and there's that level. And then there's the higher level of your oversoul that can come and go in this reality into the cosmos and work as another part of your higher soul, as some people call it, that still small voice inside your mind. Richard, I'm going to turn it over to you right here. I can get back to extraterrestrial or my civil war life or whatever ascension's leading you, but I've taken a long time. So it's your time to talk. Pass it back to you now, wherever you want to go with it.
Okay, well, let me add a few points here and there in regards to my own reference, in regards to reality, in regards to all of the references that Pastor Teresa has shared. I died and came back when I was 14. Like her, I experienced a love that cannot be put into words. I did, in fact, travel while I was being operated on. I died through the operation. It was diagnosed as Christmas tree mesentery, and I experienced going out of the hospital and into the night sky and into the colored tunnel and all of that. And then I too was greeted by angels, and then in turn I saw what I perceived to be the essence or the presence of God. Now, of course, I was shown a book of life, and he turned to my page of life. It showed my life up until the age of 14, and he said, "Now, you know, there are many things you have agreed to do when you came here, and you have not accomplished them yet. So as a result of this, you may not come home. You must go back." And, of course, I was so euphoric and so much in bliss that I didn't want to leave their presence, nonetheless come back to the earth. Now, when I did, in fact, come back, basically by or through the will of the divine, one could say. I did ask one favor be granted, and that was that I know my true identity, or what I actually appear to be in all of my existence. And of course, I was granted that, and what I perceived myself to be by stepping out of my physical self, I stepped into what you would call my overmind, I guess, and I perceived myself as nothing more than a ball of colored light. And this light was electrical, this light had consciousness, and I then gazed at the angels that had been standing there, and they too were also balls of light, colored light and consciousness. So then in turn, of course, I went back down the tunnel, back through the night sky, back into the hospital. And by the time I arrived, my body was on a gurney up against a wall, and a nurse was applying a tag on my big toe, indicating the time of death. From what the record reflects, I was actually physically dead for 33 minutes. So yes, on the record, I have died and come back, even though by now I'm sure that record is submerged and hidden because my parents were not told of this incident, and I spent 3 weeks in the hospital, and I insisted on seeing the growth that they had taken out of me, which was about the size of a walnut, and it had six tentacles that were coming out from it, and it was green in color. And therefore, if I had not had the surgery at the time, I probably would have died a few days later, because the last and longest tentacle was only centimeters away from my heart. So anyway, I sit up, and the nurse screams and passes out. Fortunately for me, there was another nurse in the operating room, because she ran over and pushed me back down because I had not been sewn closed from the surgery that had been performed. They sewed me closed and everything else. Now, I derived validation that this all occurred in physical reality because naturally I asked to see the growth that had been taken from me, and upon my severe insistence, I was actually shown the growth that had been removed. So therefore, I knew for a fact that while this surgery was going on and I was above watching it all go on and listening to everything that was said and all the movements and different cuts and so forth done upon my body, I was very much aware that the growth had been taken out. And then, of course, to see the growth was a validation that that was all true. I then, in turn, once upon I was released from the hospital, my parents were told basically that I had an appendectomy, that my appendix had swollen and needed to be removed, and that was the reason for my recovery in the hospital. However, the surgeon, who was German of nationality, had a practice in our immediate neighborhood, and he basically, after the surgery, folded up his practice and went back to Germany. I guess he was afraid that, you know, even back in that day, which was in 1969, they would have had, you know, the possibility of being sued for malpractice or what have you. And perhaps he just figured that he had learned enough here in the United States that he could therefore transfer back to Germany and help others more effectively over there. Anyway, in addition to that, I asked my stepdad if there had ever been any bills from the hospital. And the only bill that was ever paid through his insurance was the bill for the ambulance that transited me from the house to the hospital. So anyway, that's enough of those details. But the fact of the matter remains is that when I came back into this body, not only was there a tremendous amount of pain from all that had been done to it, but in turn, I was very gifted. In other words, my awareness was very extended. And for a week after the surgery, I was allowed to see the majority of the life, or perhaps being shown the many various assignments that I had, or the various missions that I needed to accomplish and so forth while I was here on the planet. Now, unfortunately, on the Friday of that week, all of that knowledge was removed. So I know for a fact that we are mortal. I have no fear whatsoever of death, because I know that etymologically and also from a spiritual aspect that we are immortal, that we will not die, we cannot die, because we are immortal. And therefore, these bodies, as Teresa has said, are basically puppets, you could say, that are animated by our spiritual selves and controlled by our spiritual selves. And we do, in fact, connect with all kinds of beings on all kinds of different levels or dimensions, which a dimension is nothing more than a shift in frequency or vibration, just as we cannot see the other side because, again, that is in the seventh dimension or two, approximately four frequencies or vibrations above in speed or resonance what we usually experience in this third dimensional world. So therefore, that is why we do not commonly see the other side. So when you go to seek your Akashic records, that is where you're going. You're transiting four more levels above where your physical self normally resides, and you can do this. We travel out of the body constantly, but we very seldom remember those voyages or those trips unless we will ourselves to do so. I have studied shamanism, and one of the very grounding methods of shamanism is the fact that you can travel from your body to any dimension and any reality you so choose to visit. Now, of course, that is beyond the substance of your mind, simply because you are not using your mind. You are using your spiritual self to do these voyages, and it is your spiritual essence that is making the voyage, and your body is being maintained on the physical level at the same time that this voyage is being made. I have had several encounters with the extraterrestrials, as I have shared that I was abducted when I was five. As a result of that abduction, my abilities psychically were enhanced, as well as I became a savant of languages. I could read, write, and speak 14 languages. This, of course, dissipated over time. To this day, I now refer to what I call a universal translator. So in other words, even though I don't speak the languages now, I still have the comprehension of understanding other languages when they are spoken around me at given times, when that knowledge is a necessity per se. And like Teresa, when I was a youth at the age of five, I could raise myself through levitation, defying gravity. I could also make other objects float and defy gravity. I could use telekinesis, which is the ability to move objects with your mind. I could also create blue or spiritual fire in the palms of my hands and project that fire to anywhere I so chose. So as you might imagine, being boarded at a Catholic school at the time that this all occurred, they thought for sure I was the son of the devil. Now, I mean, that I can understand because, again, when one is presented with a person that has abilities and gifts that are foreign to their nature or foreign to their understanding because they haven't acquired such gifts or they haven't experienced possessing such gifts, the person does indeed seem very foreign and very odd and does not fit in. And so I was isolated into a library, and the library had hundreds of books that were written in all kinds of different languages, and perhaps this is why I was gifted as a savant, so that in turn I could read many of these books and understand them completely. And some of them were voyages and travels by persons around the world. Some of them were texts in theology. Some of them were texts in various experiences from a philosophical aspect and all this kind of thing. So I gained a tremendous amount of knowledge in a very short period of time. And to this date, I do share with you boldly that if you truly want to know something, all you must do is quiet your mind, pay attention to your breathing, and listen to the inner voice that is within you, because that is the voice of your spirit, and ask very frankly what it is you want to know. And within, depending, of course, what the knowledge is that you're seeking, it will be given to you. Sometimes it's instantaneous, other times it's not. And again, there are similarities of experience between Teresa and I, only in different parts of the country. I am originally from California, and that is where I grew up. I was born in Santa Monica back in the 50s, and so I am currently 65. So while Teresa turned 70 this year, I will turn 66. But I, like her, have done a tremendous amount of traveling all over the country and even overseas to some extent. I have been to Australia, I've been to the UK, and to Europe and also to Australia. So, yes, there are lots and lots of different aspects and different understandings. And you could say that as you tune up in vibration, you are then allowed to perceive more knowledge that is enhanced by that vibratory rate. So therefore, you know, like she said, you know, we are constantly surrounded by all kinds of beings that we cannot normally see within our human vision, because our human vision is limited to a specific spectrum. However, if you utilize what you are born with and as the spark of the I Am presence, you then in turn can perceive some of these beings that come and go around you. And you can also be taken by them to their spaceships or their planets or wherever they happen to be and wherever they happen to want to bring you. And they will share knowledge with you because I'm sure that I must have been taught exactly how to use these gifts. Now, I did have a great grandmother that helped me get a handle on many things that was physically around me while she was in her 90s. And that happened. But I mean, you know, I was raised from a perspective that, yes, Catholicism, you know, there was First Holy Communion and baptism and all that good stuff. And at the same time, I was being taught Druidism because this happened to be a tradition in my family that goes back 5,000 years. So the Druidic thought and understanding of things is far more expanded than the Catholic thought, because the Catholic thought teaches of a judgmental God, okay? Whereas, yes, Druidism teaches that there is no judgment, and it is a god and a goddess, a balanced creative source that has created us all and remains within us all if we would heed turning inward and pay more attention to our higher selves. Now, I also believe wholeheartedly that this divine love, which I have experienced only a few times, or agape as it is referred to sometimes, does dwell within us, and it is the sustaining source of all creation. So therefore, it is the highest vibration amongst all creation. So you could say, yes, this would be the seventh vibratory rate or even higher. From my understanding, there are 26 dimensions, but there could be far more dimensions than that. Just because I have an understanding of them, perhaps by having transited to the same, does not mean that that is the limitation to how many can or cannot exist. I believe wholeheartedly that we are all joined together as one species, as one consciousness, and that we are all brothers and sisters. I also believe wholeheartedly that many of us are utilizing more than just three strands of DNA or 12 strands, or even possibly 15 strands. And again, this has to do with the dimension or vibration in which you exist. If you tune your vibration upwardly, then naturally internally you are bringing into activation more strands of DNA than a normal person might usually utilize. The same is true with the brain. There is a tumor-like gland that exists between the pineal gland and which is of course your third eye, which is the ability to see many more things than you normally would with your regular physical vision. But this tumor-like growth is an actual gland, and in the majority of human beings, in their brains, it lays dormant. However, again, if this is activated, then it creates all kinds of hormones and other chemicals that run rapidly through the brain, and of course it changes your electronic signature brain-wise. And of course you have abilities that others may spend years attempting to gain the use of, when in fact all you have to do really is give yourself permission to utilize the same. Now, I'm not saying that this is instantaneous and you can go out tomorrow and decide, well, okay, I'm going to make things instantly manifest And, you know, you hold out your hand and say, well, I want an apple, and boom, the apple appears. I would say that probably going back, oh, maybe 5 to 8,000 years ago, when the veil was lifted completely and the world of magic did in fact exist, such as dragons and fairies and elves and all of these things that had been written in books by Tolkien and a few others, excuse me, that these elementals and so forth do in fact exist and still do exist, but there is a veil. In other words, there's like an energetic covering that separates their reality from ours. And of course, it has to be pierced, or you have to be welcomed into that vibration rate so that in turn you may perceive the same. Now, I know this all sounds kind of fantastic and very creative to say the least, but yet at the same time, the only limitations that you have mentally, emotionally, and spiritually are those that you lay upon yourself. So if you want to explore your past lives, you are more than welcome to do so. You have guides, and you have angels, and you have guardians, and you have teachers that are all constantly around you and at your access. But again, you have to ask for the help, okay, because they will help you to a certain degree. Now, we are each here, of course, to do our own work and to excel upon completing whatever it is we're here to do. And once that is completed, then, of course, we go home to the I Am, God, Goddess, creator of all, etc., etc. I mean, we can create many names, but the key thing is that we are all observing a force and a power that is far beyond our abilities, and that that source in turn is that that created us all and remains as the creator within us all. And so, you know, I deeply and sincerely appreciate Christ, both from past life experience as well as experiences in the here and now. I was visited with him or by him in a group setting when I was 19. And each of the parties, there was about 20 of us physically there at the time at a drop-in center for youth that was, we provided counseling to youth at the time for Grace House. And the Christ presence came, and it was a great light that shone in the middle of the group. And then his physical presence was seen from the aspect being that he was not physically completely manifested there among us. Rather, his physical self could be readily identified energetically as being there with us. And he in turn approached each in the group and blessed them. And he in turn advised me that I would undergo what you would call spiritual transformation and a cleansing process, or a trial process of all the four elements, and then, of course, the completion being with spirit. So again, you're talking earth, air, fire, and water, and then, of course, the fifth element, spirit. And this went on for probably about 3 years, roughly speaking, at the conclusion of which, then, of course, I was gifted with a empathic understanding of the energy of others. So as even to this day, I can read other people's energies, and again, we are all electrical beings. We are 80% water, and then, of course, we have a bone mass, and we have a brain that is very, very electrical. And so we create an electromagnetic field around us, which is our aura, and we also have chakras or energy centers all throughout the body. There are two at your feet. There are two more in your hands. And then in addition to that, there are the seven that are commonly utilized by the yogis and practiced in yogic teaching. And then in addition to that, there are three more. So in total, you actually have 15 chakras. And the 15th chakra completely connects you to the source of all. So I won't go into all the in-depth teachings and things in reference to that. But needless to say, by the time you get to your 15th chakra, you would then be in a position, if you were able to maintain that consciousness, to bring the consciousness of your spirit and merge it with the consciousness of your physical self, and then you would have Christ consciousness with you always, in a sense that Christ himself experienced. Now, that is not to say that I would claim to be the Son of God, even though, in a manner of speaking, we are all sons and daughters of God, and we have always been and shall always be, and there has never, ever been any separation. And so when it comes to our star families, this is the same truth. We have never, ever truly been separated by from whence we came or the heavens from which we have come, because we have most likely a very vivid history of having transited in other lives, in other civilizations, in other galaxies, in other universes, or perhaps in another cosmos. Who is to say? And I mean, who is to, you see, unfortunately, when it comes to God, it is a thing of faith. So therefore, who is to claim that their faith and their faith alone, or their path or tradition alone, is the only way? They cannot do so. The reason being that if this were true, we wouldn't have the hundreds of religions and the hundreds of traditions. And the thing of it is, and the point is, that they all lead to the same place. And that is going back to our existence as pure energy consciousness without having to inhabit a physical self. And this is, you know, this is where all paths lead, because this is where we all came from. Now, whether we transit from here directly to the other side, which is sort of a presumption, from the aspect being that I do believe that when we die, which there is no death, the word death means nothing but change, okay? So when we change energetically, in other words, when our spirit has left this physical body, and this body is absolutely dead, the heart has stopped, the brain no longer functions, we do transit to the seventh dimension. Now, in the seventh dimension, of course, we greet all of those that have passed before us. You will meet family members. You will meet loved ones. You will meet friends. You will meet all teachers. You will meet all kinds of persons of interest that you looked up to or had deep connection with while you were alive here on the earth. Okay, then in turn, from that point, you then determine where you need to go next. Do you need to come back to the earth for another life to enhance certain experiences, or perhaps to unravel other things that have happened in previous lives? Who is to say? That's just between you and God, because God is the absolute advisor on all that is the highest good for all of us, okay? So maybe perhaps you don't need to come back to earth, which is my belief in my personal experience. I believe that I have finally gotten to the end of experiencing all of the lives that I need to have here, and I am ready to transit on either to another family of beings that exist on another planet in perhaps another galaxy or perhaps another universe. And I will transit to them and be with them even as I am doing so at the present moment. Like I said, we are not limited to the bodies and existences that we can have at any given time. However, they must be useful, they must be balanced, and the information goes to what we would call, or what I like to term, your higher self or your spiritual essence. So your spiritual essence has all of the knowledge and all of the answers to any questions and all of the information that you would ever want to know, because your spiritual essence exists probably in whatever dimension you happen to exist in before you actually incarnated upon this planet. Now, I personally, from what I understand and from what I've been told and shown and so forth by avatars and ascended masters and Christ and numerous other deities, that I originated from the 16th dimension. Now, who's to say that that's true, because I in no way possible can prove that to you, just as I can no more prove the existence of God or prove the existence of the devil. Why? Because they are manifested in different dimensions, and those dimensions do not connect readily with the 3D world. Now, of course, Christ demonstrated that he could create miracles in the fact being that he could raise the dead. When he rose the Lazarus from the dead, it was a fact of calling Lazarus's spirit or his spirit essence back into the body of Lazarus. Now, as a spiritual essence, as directly acting as the Son of God in all knowingness and in all facets of divine being or existence, as bringing down whatever dimension that happens to reside with, okay, into his physical incarnation, then yes, that was not a problem at all. He could also heal instantly. He could heal the sick and cure the blind, excuse me, and create many more miracles that are all told about in the Bible. Now, yes, I personally am of Christian faith or was raised Christian. However, as a theologian, I have studied pretty much all of the religions of the world, all of the traditions. As an occultist or a mage, I have studied all the traditions and all of the initiatory practices in all of the various initiatory paths around the world to a large extent. I have not accomplished all of them by far because there are way too many of them. As a shaman, I have only traveled 3 shamanic paths. But there's a great deal of information that is all being held in the Vatican, in the basement of the Vatican, because they have acquired numerous manuscripts and numerous books and so forth, and these are guarded in certain ways. And of course, I don't know whether they will ever be shared with the public or not. But if you go back and you look at the history of the popes, you will find that there were 3 popes that were actual magicians and practiced magic, even though they were popes at the time. So this validates that they have such knowledge. But anyway, I'm not pointing fingers at any one given religion or anything of that nature, simply because, again, your tradition and your faith and your belief were given you, whether you were brought up with them or whether you acquired them through marriage or whether you acquired them through the introduction by someone that you happen to love or someone that you held in high esteem and so forth. They are all correct. There is nothing that is wrong, other than, of course, when it comes to harming others, because that's just the grand law. You know, you are to love yourself, and then in turn, you are to love yourself and love others as you love yourself and do no harm to anyone. And, of course, you know, there are all kinds of hierarchies of angels. There's all kinds of hierarchies of other beings. There are ascended masters. There are guides. There are teachers. The majority of most have already spent lives here on earth, like Saint Germain, who is the possessor of the violet flame, which is the flame of transformation and transmutation. And again, if you ask for his spiritual guidance and his spiritual help, he will help you in regards to you overcoming anything that you are holding on to that you should not be holding on to, whether it be trapped emotions, whether it be trapped experiences or trauma, whatever it happens to be. He will help you to cleanse it from yourself, because the negative energy that we hold on to, in turn, if it's kept long enough, can turn into disease in the body, which dis-ease is naturally disease, because it's an unease within the spirit, and therefore if it's held on to long enough, this in turn becomes a disease in the body. So by unraveling the disease, in other words, you must pinpoint in your life's history the trauma or whatever it was that created this uneasiness within yourself, within all of the various facets and all of the various levels of your being. I would say probably the easiest way to look at a person would be to focus upon them as a diamond, okay? Why? Because that is how many facets we have to our, not only our personality, but also dimensionally. So if you look upon the facets of a diamond, and then one of the facets happens to go dark, then in turn the diamond itself is no longer clear, so it no longer radiates, in essence, the energy that is passing, or the light waves that are passing through the diamond. Instead, part of the waves get bent around this darkness. So the key would be to remove the darkness within the diamond, so that in turn the diamond radiates pure light. And now, of course, there are also many other teachings. I mean, we have several bodies, from what I understand, at least 5 of them. You have a mental body, an emotional body, a physical body, of course, and then in turn you also have a body of light, and a body of purity, or what you would call a diamond form. And I think the diamond body, of course, at this point in time in our evolution, is where we are all radiating or transiting towards. And you have to understand that, again, without judgment, we are all equals, okay? So no one is any more right than the other. No one is any more knowledgeable than another. We are all equals, and we need to treat and respect each other as equals. And again, this is a lesson that we are learning as a race, because we have been divided since the creation of mankind. But of course, you know, I have lived in Atlantis. I have lived in Lemuria. I have lived in Egypt several times, and I have been physical and I have been non-physical, from the aspect being that I could energetically release myself from a physical presence at any given moment and in turn recreate a physical self to inhabit in any given moment. So therefore, my understanding of our physicality and how physicality comes into play is well rehearsed, you could say. I mean, like I said, I've had hundreds of lives, perhaps even thousands of lives. And yes, in order to be whole, you have to ground, which of course, basically in meditation, you would see, you could use the example that your feet become rooted to the ground. In other words, your roots actually appear from the bottoms of your feet and go into the earth and go deeply into the earth, and you connect with Gaia or Mother Earth, or Mu, as she is also called, or any other given name in whatever tradition it happens to be. And you pull forth the energy of the earth, and the earth sends forth her energy as you connect with her. And then if you open all of your chakras to the 15th chakra, or as high as you are capable of resonating, you then in turn send positive energy to the earth, and the earth grounds and removes from you all the negativity that has garnered or gathered upon your electrical or energetic field, and also helps you to cleanse your chakras.
And with that, I'd like to thank you. We're past the hour now, but I wanted to describe Saint Germain, because you mentioned him and the violet flame. Folks, in the terms of theosophy or theosophist, Madame Helen Blavatsky was one of the co-founders of the Theosophical Society, and declared that Saint Germain was one of the hidden masters of Tibet who secretly controlled the destiny of the world. So you may want to look into the history back in about 1700s, but people say he lived to be 124 years old, but he used alchemy. But he once said to one of the kings that he was with, about, because he was all about the brotherhood of alchemy and teaching, and he is the father of alchemy to many people as an ascended master. There go the violet flame. But when Saint Germain, he was between 1763 and 69 after leaving Russia, but he's known to have spent a year or so in Berlin, and he knew many, many people during that time. And many people have even talked about the violet flame. Anybody in following alchemy or metaphysics or esoterics knows about Saint Germain and his alchemy and how he used it, which he believed people, they said alchemy is really the purest learning of how to be immortal essence of the soul. And he had learned to accomplish that. And there go is his notoriety for alchemy, which is just transformation. If you study it back in all the ancient, it wasn't about turning anything into gold. It was about pure essence and the elixir of life as an immortal, learning to be as young as one possibly could be. And that was a big thing, especially in Germany and among the people during that time. So there's a very big history of many people that have walked the earth and done their part, and others thought them to be charlatans or frauds, and then later on in life they're deified. Now, what's to become of Pastor Richard and Pastor Teresa, who knows that this is the Ascension Age, and we're all equal to all of you as the I Am presence, which he talked about, the I Am and the alchemy, and began the original brotherhood as Madame Blavatsky felt like he was a person that was deified as an immortal. So that's why you'll hear Saint Germain, and if you've ever wondered about the violet flame, all of the things you hear of in New Age, occultist, esoteric theosophy is in your history books. So if you have time, pick up The Gods of Eden. It's a book, or the raw material by Ra, who is actually by three people working to get words out of the Ascension Masters. And The Gods of Edom was research done by William Bramley, B-R-A-M-L-E-Y. Richard, you did an excellent job today of getting us started in June for disclosure for all extraterrestrial behavior on the planet with others who study with us as the Ascension Cosmos Oracles presents. And that is a corporation, Ascension Cosmos Oracle Corps, our core of beings, like the Marine Corps, Brotherhood, Fellowship, Sisterhood of all of us in the mystics, psychic sage seers. And we'll cover more, including how the Tarot came into being from Thor and the Matrix and the Egyptian gods and the emerald, fired emerald green tablets of old by one of the Egyptian gods. Many people have that flame of truth in them, including me, going back in a pyramid. So it's one of my past lives. So we'll talk about extraterrestrials, past lives, the life after life, Monroe Institute, and how the intelligence world follows all of this, especially alchemy and metaphysics around the world today, because it's so empowering and lifting and uplifting. So be uplifting, up-leveling in the game of life. We are the authors of our own life stories. If you like what Richard and I had to say, please support us, donate. You can still use PAL, although we hear it's going away due to cell phones, but you can send any money you'd like to. You can put a note where you'd like it to be spent on this radio show, paying the overhead. It's all we've ever done with the bills is pay overhead, but tjmorrisagency@gmail.com. I'm the agent of service for many associations, nonprofits, but I'm trying to retire this year and only reconstitute my belief in the Ascension Age with Pastor Richard Knight and myself as the main captains. When he's not steering the ship, I am. So we're steering the Ascension Age ship, and we'll help you in ways of theosophy ingrained in metaphysics and the occult, metaphysical, ancient mystery schools. If many of you never entered them, a lot of what people put out today may or may not be the truth. So use that with a grain of salt. And Richard, we will return next Sunday. I know I can count you in on that. And folks, if you have time, Thursday, we're going to start doing our paranormal metaphysical day again with different metaphysical or paranormal groups of the ancient art of paranormal that I'm known for. Was asked to be on a topic and a speaker at Mid-South Con in 2016. I did talk to Marta Thomas. She's not giving a pyramid this year, maybe next year conference in Chicago, but Richard and I may or may not be going to Vegas if we can work that out in September for MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. You can always count on MUFON, and we have UAP Associates and the UFO Association, but I'm very careful now due to scrutiny, security, and the combination of all the different Democrat, Republican things going on in the world and the hierarchy. But, you know, all we can do is love each other, unify, and say that we are all the I Am in us all as the God Goddess and the Cosmic Egg. So with that said, for all of you that have a monad philosophy or monad, thank you for joining us in all of this. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, just let Pastor Rick know. Pastor Rick, I know you have rtknight35@gmail. Is that still rtknight? Is that still good, 35? rtknight35@gmail?
Yes, that's a valid email that I use all the time. You can also catch me on Facebook.
Okay.
I have a profile on Facebook. I also have a profile on LinkedIn. And that's the basic ways to connect with me. Do what?
Yeah, we have plenty of websites and domains for our businesses, including this one as well. And we just got to get everybody on the same page as to knowing what we're promoting for others to be included, because it's a process to be in the Ascension Cosmos Oracles and presenting the Ascension Church Ohana. And I saw lightning split a tree and fire. So if you ever say that a prophet has to be called by God and lightning has to strike them, it was close enough, but I lived through that one due to rubber tires on a car. But I have plenty of initiations to talk about in the future that I haven't been privileged or haven't wanted to discuss, didn't think it mattered. But now the extraterrestrials visited me and told me to start telling my story. So let's get on with it, Richard. And we'll keep reading notes and inviting other people. If you are a starseed, are a light worker, truth seeker, or any of the above, mystic oracles, psychic sages, seers, shaman, prophets, are leveling up in the light game of life, are just strictly a supporter, let us know who you are. We'll get you on the show. All right, Richard, just look, folks, I build them during the week, but this is our mainstay, our home base on Sundays for Pastor Rick, Pastor Teresa. And we'll, Pastor Gigi and Pastor Ken are a little under weather. They're a lot older than we are, in their 70s. And but they're here. We're the elders of your church. Love and light, Richard. See you. Talk to you hopefully during the week, okay?
Yes, love and light.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job today. Thank you, everybody. All right, here we go. We're going to get out of here.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
When you're dead.